Blog Talk Radio.
Oh man, we back, baby. Where's the thingy? There you go. Show for the people, by the people, that invite the people. Show where me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics, see what's popping in the streets, how you feel about the news that's hit the cycle of information, how y'all feel about, you know, just life in general, you know, what's been going on in your lives and in your hearts and in your kids' lives and what you find interesting. We get together, we sit down at a table, and we just have a discussion. We started the show because, you know, so many people having conversations on the internet, even though this is still the internet. But just, you know, I'm gangsters, man. And I love text. I'm a big fan of text, and I hate calling people. But you can have good conversations through text. So we started this where we get together once a week. Four times a month, and we literally have a conversation. If there's something that's bothering us, even if it's something controversial. We use fake names to hide the safe people, to hide, make sure none of y'all get fired from your jobs, and we sit there and have a conversation. We try to enjoy one another. We try to listen to each other's thoughts and views. Try not to tell anybody each other's wrong. We have arguments. We have laughs. I still don't think anyone's cried yet. I think the abortion topic people came a little bit close to crying. But, you know, I try to make this, we try to make this a safe place. For good conversation, good energy, good topics. And, you know, that's basically it. So if you want to call in, 929-477-3975. We're on the Instagrams, we're on the Facebooks. You can catch us there. We're on the Twitters. I still got to get set up with Twitch. My sister was supposed to come through tonight, but we had football practice, and that football practice got canceled, and I didn't want to bring out the house. So hopefully next week we will be on Twitch. And that's pretty much it, man. So jump right on in. I got the lovely, the wonderful, my DJ C Siren in the building. DJ C Siren, how are you holding up? How are you holding up tonight?
Doing all right. How y'all doing?
Good to have you. It's been a while since we've been on the off-ramp. Man, you had taken a trip, went to San Diego, Comic-Con's back. It's been about 2 years since we had a chance to go. 2 years or 3 years?
Two years
since we had a chance to go.
Due to
the pandemic, shut everything down. So this was the first year back. So we flew out there. Just to catch y'all up on that, we can go through a brief recap of the trip. DJ Cesar, how'd you feel about the trip? Any highlights, any lows, any disappointments? For those that don't know what Comic-Con is, explain what Comic-Con is and explain, you know, why you enjoy it so much. Shout out to the nerds.
There's multiple conventions that are dedicated toward comic books and pop culture, we'll say. One of the oldest ones and biggest ones is the Comic-Con that is held in San Diego, California. It's been around for about 53 years, and which started out as a place where people came together to trade and buy comic books, has kind of transformed into, you know, comic book stories, writers, science fiction, like I said, pop culture. So, like I said, there's many conventions that are dedicated towards comics and pop culture, but this one is the biggest one. It's definitely a flex to say that you have tickets or badges to go to San Diego. They are difficult to come by, so it's always cool to go.
Extremely difficult.
Yeah.
It takes a while to get these tickets.
So, and to be able to say it's my third year is also pretty cool. So this year, definitely different because of the pandemic, but...
What do you think was the main difference?
Not the crowds weren't...
That's a good thing, though, right?
I thought it was a good thing, but it wasn't as many opportunities for, like, autographs, and those opportunities were very few compared to what we've seen before, or what I've seen before, and... But everything else, I mean, was probably around the same. So I feel like for some reason I missed a lot of things this year. And I don't know if that's just because of Saturdays.
Waiting in line.
Yeah, all that stuff.
We'll get to that in a second.
I just feel like, but it's a little bit of that anyways. It's just there's so much stuff going on, you're going to miss a lot of things.
It's going to miss a lot.
So because there's just a lot to see. And it just depends on what you're interested in. So... I am interested in a lot of different things, so I don't, like, just focus on, you know, Marvel movies or comics. I don't just focus on, you know, Star Wars. I don't just focus on, like, one thing. So I think for someone like me who's interested in a lot of different things, I feel like I probably miss a lot more than what other people are looking out for, because there's a lot of smaller things, especially like the black authors, the black sci-fi stuff, and the panels for, equality in, you know, comics and things like that, which we did miss. They just put out the Armstrong Project, which is...
We can't walk them by.
I know, and I wish I knew exactly what it was.
So they got Black Charlie Brown.
Well, he's always been around. He's been around since the 60s, but they actually, the guy that started the Proud Family... started an initiative.
He stole my uncle's idea.
The Proud Family?
Mm-hmm. Okay. My uncle had his own comic book series about a family based on my family and wrote a comic book, and the guy who did the Proud Family was in his session and took it, and my uncle says he stole his idea.
I probably took the idea of this anyway. I wish I'm not going there. And it actually was two recipients, because they're basically giving money to, kind of equal the playing field for black animators and storytellers in animation. So there was a recipient from Hampton University and a recipient from Howard University that was given money and opportunity to create their stories in animation by this project, the Armstrong Project.
Okay.
Franklin is his name. He's been around. But basically Charles Schulz, who's the creator of Peanuts, gave the guy from the Proud Family, he was his mentor, and he named him Armstrong after the creator of the Proud Family, just as homage to black creators.
So we should have went then.
I know, we should have, exactly. And we missed it. And we missed it, y'all. And that's I came back.
I kept asking y'all who the Black Charlie Brown is.
We kept saying he's Franklin.
Y'all kept saying we're gonna go see The Rock and rub on his ads. I kept saying who's the Black Charlie Brown. None of y'all just kept looking at me like I was crazy.
Oh, that's we just couldn't stop. So yeah, so that's the downside. You go miss something. I think that would have been probably something that would have really been a cool look. We missed the Proud Family panel, which was a cartoon that, you know.
I'm not allowed to go. You stole my uncle's idea.
Well, yeah, I didn't know that that was something that was.
We got beef. You lucky? I didn't know he was there because I'd have ran up on him. Because they have a section where, and this is the fun thing about Comic-Con. I don't mean to cut you off, DJ Susan. Just like when you're in these panels, they give you a chance to talk to these actors and actresses. If they, except for Marvel. Marvel's a little bit of a dick. They just want to show you what they got coming out, and then they're out of there. But everybody else, they make time for you to get walk up to a dedicated microphone and ask questions. And boy, it is some weird people out there, boy. I wish I should have filmed the questions because they were awful. And I was like, man, all these nerds, you finally got a chance to talk to somebody at stuff that y'all really enjoy. They just keep asking the same dumbass questions. But you can tell they're socially awkward, so I don't knock them. Like, I would hope that they are.
Congratulations that they're able to ask the questions.
Yeah, I was proud. Look, I felt proud of them because none of them looked like they were good at public speaking.
No, I looked at them at all. So, you know, so that was, but like I said, the smaller crowds were, it was nice to go into the exhibit hall where you can buy merchandise and stuff and not have to be shoulder to shoulder with people. You could kind of maneuver through there pretty easily, which was a nice experience. And I was able to find, you know, some pretty cool stuff and buy stuff that, I mean, yeah, you know. So, I mean, that was cool. That was cool.
So you enjoyed, I mean, I don't want to get too long on Comic-Con since we got a bunch of stuff to catch up on.
Yeah.
But anything else you want to tell the people about our trip?
Brad, we were the first ones to see the Black Panther 2 trailer.
So you just want to stunt on Hollywood?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been listening to Beyonce all weekend. So
yeah, I
want to
get to that too. Look,
let's talk about this
Black Panther 2, and I got my brother Blur in the building. Blur, welcome to the off ramp, and I got my sis Doc. I forgot your nickname, but Doc Navy. I'm gonna call you tonight. They on the line too, and you know, I'm gonna bring y'all in a second, but I just want to have this discussion real quick with DJ C. Sire. Why was you crying in with the Black Panther trailer? You know, Chadwick died like a year ago. Like, we knew when they announced the Black Panther 2. Look, it was dope that they made the black movie the headline of, because the Marvel showed a lot. Marvel showed a lot. They had a lot of people come out. But they made Black Panther the headline. I was like, that's dope. You know, I saw the little African concert. It was a little boring. But maybe I'm just not a fan of African music, or maybe I got to listen to the Beyonce and Drake album more. But why was y'all in there crying? Yo, the whole crowd was, like, in tears.
Well,
and I kept wondering, like, y'all know he's dead.
Beach One Gun is devoid of emotions and feelings.
That's not
and
true. I got married.
He's devoid of emotions and feelings. And unless he feels like it's something that impacts him directly, he does not understand why you would have an emotion about it. But seeing Ryan Coogler there and...
I just think, well, let me go to a Bank of America. You know.
Stop it. And it's not a joke. To know that the last time they were at Comic-Con, you know, Chadwick was there. They were talking about the first Black Panther. And to be back with him not there... and them paying tribute to him. It was touching. It was sad.
But
and
you knew it was coming.
No, I did not know it was coming.
Once they said, let's talk about Wakanda forever, you knew it was...
No. Well,
okay.
A little bit. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It was even when they did announce, like, before they came on stage, they had an African singer and drummer come out through the crowd and drum and have a little performance. And it's just like, oh, man, you know, here we go.
It took a while, too.
It did take a while. So I thought it was just touching. I mean, I think, you know, for someone, I know you don't understand to have any kind of emotional song you don't understand.
No, I get it, but I don't understand it comes to the point of crying.
To think about someone who struggled through. With the illness, he lost a lot of weight.
I know, but we don't know the struggle because he was very fragile. We don't know how big of a struggle.
I mean, if you're dying of cancer,
I'm not arguing that. I'm not. Look, rest in peace, Chad. I love
colon cancer is not. You know, we
I love
21 days. But you know, So, you know, to just, I mean, it was very sad, but it was beautiful. It was cool to see, you know, the rest of the cast and then to be able to and the information about having Ironheart's going to be in the new Black Panthers 2, which y'all didn't see in the trailer, but we got to talk to the actress who was there, and you know, in the new storyline with Namor finally introducing the DC Aquaman.
So,
which I thought was cool. We got more natives in the Marvel family.
Yeah, you got a Puerto Rican and I couldn't tell what that other one was.
They were Asian, but I'm not quite sure.
She could be Indian.
They're Asians, too.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. Asians.
Indians are Asian?
Yes, honey.
No, I meant Native Indians. Native Americans.
Yes.
What are they?
Well, they're Asian. Well, no, they're not.
Asian,
they're
a lot of people.
No, maybe not. But, I mean, if we go back to the
I mean, they're probably from Asia.
Yeah, they got
the same
over.
Eyes.
They crossed over.
Well, I don't want to get
okay.
No natives mad at me, y'all.
We're not
going to
talk about Pangea, but anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it?
That's it.
Go to Comic-Con, good trip.
Yeah.
I had an earthquake while we was out there.
Yep.
Didn't feel shit.
Nope. It was only 4 point something. That's not enough to get anybody riled up.
What?
I don't know. So, made it back. Almost didn't, but we did.
Yeah, I'll tell you about that trip. That was terrible.
Yeah.
All right, well. Good to have you on the off-ramp as always, DJ C-Sign. I'm glad you enjoyed your trip. I got my man Blur in the building. Blur, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight, my brother?
Oh, man, I'm glad to be here. Blessed and highly favored as always, man. It's been a good couple of weeks, man, these past couple of weeks. Had a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to get off my chest. So, yeah, man, glad y'all back.
Thanks, man. Sorry about that, man. They just hit me up so we can do the show. And I always say, look, I would love to do the show from a remote location, especially because, like, I'd be all one out there, man. I took a gummy. I was sweating way too much. But, you know, I would love to do the show from, like, remote locations when we go out of town, but then start drinking and start moving and shaking, and there's just be no way it can happen. And even, like, last week when we got back, like, you know what I mean? It was my birthday. You know, I had my birthday a couple weeks ago, and wanted to do the show on my birthday, and then people just start walking in the house. So glad to be back. Glad we can do the show. And, you know, but we're here what you got to say, man. It's been a couple of weeks, so I'm going to let you have the floor. I got my sis, Doc, in the building. Doc, what's going on? How you holding up tonight there, young lady?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Deep Doc.
Okay, great. I'm... I'm doing well. I'm like your friend. I'm blessed and highly favored, and a little bit frustrated with this whole adulting thing. So I'm curious to what we're talking about tonight, but I'm here.
Oh, we got a lot of stuff tonight. You want to talk about why you're frustrated? You want to keep that private? I don't
want to. No, I can definitely let you know. I can tell you overall is because people are incompetent at their jobs, and you know, this whole situation of trying to sell, move homes, that kind of thing. I got word today that even though my renter said no, she's got 60 days to get out, 15 days left, all of a sudden now she's like, oh, I haven't looked at anything. Can I have an extra 30 days? No. And there's many reasons or excuses. And I, you know, like, okay, as if I don't have a life and make decisions or need, you understand, like that whole – I got people to take care of, and things were in place. So, yeah, that's the most recent frustrating point right now. And it's because the property manager basically, after I sent her official notice that I'm done, no offer, no selling, then she comes back and was like, oh, the tenant can buy it? She can qualify to buy it? Nah, you're a little bit too late.
Okay. Yeah, that's always tough, buying and selling a house and moving and all that stuff. I know you got a lot going on because I know you personally. So we won't pray for you. Hopefully things, you know, the frustration will pass. Things will get knocked off the list. Things will get handled and things will get better. But we're definitely praying for you. It sounds like the situation is that I don't know if it was Blur who sent me the link or somebody else, but there was a story about how this lady bought a house from a couple. Everything went through the all the loans and all that stuff. But in the contract, she put the people who are selling the house put in the contract that if we have to stay past the due date, then we'll just pay her something like $75 a day for each day that they have to stay there past the due date. So the sale went through and all that good stuff. And then the people who sold the house said that they're not moving. They'll just pay her $75 a day because it's less than they mortgage.
Mm-mm.
And so she's like got to fight through court and all that stuff just to get them out. She's like a single mom with two kids, and this was like her first house. And she can't get these people out of the house because legally, as long as they pay her $75 a day, they can stay in the house.
Okay, so let me tell you about that. That's a...
Go ahead, B Doc. What'd you say, DJ?
I was gonna say that.
Hold on. Got technical difficulties. Hold on, don't go nowhere, D Doc. I'm gonna have to repeat that. Hold on. Chess, can you hear me? Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, man, we hear you just fine.
Okay. All right, I knocked the mics and stuff out the laptop, so. Enough, y'all can hear us. But all right, so let's start all over. DJ C-Sign, what would you say?
They should have put her in there up to so many days.
Yeah.
I mean, was that not in there? Up to 3 months? Up to 6 months?
Yeah, I guess not. It's just crazy. What was you saying, Deep Dot?
So that's what I was acknowledging. So the property manager, okay, is not managing because I asked her that question. Now, based on how I read the contract with the tenant, there should be a penalty if they pass the date of evacuate the house, right? Leave the house.
Yeah.
She's telling me, oh, no, she doesn't have to pay a penalty. There's no extra fee, so that's $75 the family decides. She's like, oh, all she would have to do is just continue to pay the rent at the exact price that it's at. And I'm like, that doesn't even make good sense. If I gave her official notice to vacate the home and you're telling me there's no penalty if she stays past that date, nah, that don't sound about right. So I've already engaged legal. Hey, we're not going to play these games. I'm going to go ahead and see what they say the contract says. And ultimately, I'm already asking for the process of what I have to do to legally enforce putting the person out.
Well, you ain't got to legally do nothing. Just I know where the house is at. Just let me know what day she got to be out, and I'm going to just run up in that joint. I'll change the locks like I did before.
The thing about it is, and that's the thing, and it's like, I appreciate that. I appreciate that support because that means a lot. And that's a big thing, too, just to have people in your corner that will support you in that way. But I'm telling you, sometimes you gotta hit people where it hurts, right? And unfortunately, I've had to deal with legal much more than I desire, but I'm glad that I'm aware of it. And, yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and push forward with it. It's unfortunate because, as a single mom as well right now, you know, making that decision, do I keep my child enrolled where he currently is, or do I try to take the stab and move there and stay maybe in a transient home until I can get into mine? I mean, that's a little bit of the frustration too.
All right. Well, we can have that discussion offline. You know, you don't have to stay in a transient home. You can just stay with us, but we'll have that discussion later. Blur, what you got, man?
Oh, man, you know what's funny? I feel like that $75 is tricky because, like, you can't even stay at a cheap hotel or motel for, like, less than $100. So I think they definitely knew what they were doing to get over on that. Like, yeah, I would definitely pay the $75 a day because even an inexpensive hotel is going to be $100 without tax a day. So, yeah, somebody played that right in getting over. It sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, legally I guess they're right, but, like, I don't know. My pride is a little bit different. Like, if I feel like you're – like, everybody makes mistakes. I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Most people tell you, I'm the nicest guy in the world. I ain't got no problems with nobody. I got a couple problems with a couple people, but not really, really deep problems. But I get upset when I feel like somebody's bullying somebody. Like, Cheryl's seen me – DJ C-Siren seen me a couple times when I felt like somebody was trying to bully her. And I was like, nah, yo, that's why, you know, that's what I'm here for. Ain't nobody gonna bully anybody I love. And, like, I would burn my own house down if, like, if somebody was like, nah, yo, legally I can just stay here and pay $75 and you can't do nothing. And I'm like, nah, yo, we had a deal. Like, I'm trying to be cool with you and all stuff. But I ain't going nowhere. I'm just paying you $75. I'm like, all right, I got to burn the bitch down, yo. And I'll just take whatever.
There's a whole documentary about that. I forgot what it's called. I think it's on Netflix about squatters' rights. And it followed, like, two or three people, but one dude specifically. And that's all he would do. He would get into one spot and just squat and be like, yo, this is my place now. I don't got to pay you nothing, because he knew, like, the process of getting rid of somebody. And one chick, all she did was, like, just try to make it as uncomfortable as possible. Like, she was throwing parties, like, all night, having friends come over. She knew he ain't like smoke, so they would all smoke cigars and cigarettes and weed and just blow smoke under the door. When he left out the house to get away from the smoke, they took the lock off the door and took the doorknobs off. I mean, and this is her place. She's doing all this to her place because she couldn't get him out.
That's crazy, yo. Like, that's nuts. All right, well.
And dude, like, had, like, a whole scheme. Like, he knew the exact laws and everything. Like, one lady was like, yo, I knew something was up because he came up to look at the place and fill out the application, but he already had the U-Haul with him. Like, all his stuff was already in the U-Haul, ready to move in.
Good Lord. That's wild. All right, well, I'm going to stay on that too. Blur, it's been a couple weeks, man. What you want to talk about? Oh, I got my man New York in the building. New York, welcome back, man. It's been a couple weeks, man. How you holding up?
I'm doing good. I'm glad it's back. Yo, y'all made 2 weeks in a hole. We back, man. We back. I'm happy. I'm happy for the conversation. I got nothing to share. I'm just ready for the conversation, y'all.
My man, glad to have it. Blur, what you want to talk about tonight, yo? I got a bunch of stuff, yo, but, you know, it's been a couple of weeks. I'm going to let you catch up, man. What you got?
Hey, watch y'all.
Oh, man.
Watch y'all back. Hold on real quick, Blur. Hey, just don't forget, if you guys aren't talking, put yourselves on mute. And just, you know, when you're ready to talk, when you're ready to jump in, unmute yourself. But watch y'all background noise so it's less feedback.
Go ahead, Blur.
Oh, man, you know, I don't even know where to start. Like, is this mad stuff to dive into over the past couple weeks? I do want to say this just to take a little wind out of DJ C. Cyrus' sail, just a little bit, because when y'all were seeing the Black Panther trailer for the first time, they were streaming it. Not official. It wasn't official Marvel. It was just people with their phones streaming it. So, yeah, we all got that look at the same time. But, hey, I kind of wanted to talk about that. Y'all already got into it, man. But, yeah, that BSC or whatever her name is, singing "We Gonna Be All Right" or "Everything Gonna Be All Right," man, with the images of Chadwick Boseman. I ain't cry, but my eyes got a little moist. See, I mean, got a little thug tear a little bit. Had to suck them back up in there. Like, yo, man up. But yeah, that was a good trailer. They knew exactly what they were doing with that.
Man, why y'all be crying over stuff, yo?
Man, it's a reason they got these songs and everything, like, tugging on people's emotions. Man, you got Letitia Wright bawling her eyes out. She got the ugly cry with the snot coming out of her eyes, and you got the song wailing in the background, and "We Gonna Be All Right." Like, yeah, man, like, yeah, and they got the images of Chadwick Boseman. Yeah, man, it's touching.
Hey, so do songs make y'all cry? Like, if you hear a song, will you start crying?
Oh, my goodness. This is deep, Doc, and I'm going to say this. It's funny to me because I wanted to talk some weeks ago about gender roles or gender things, right, base things. And it's like I hear your man saying, hey, you know, he got a thug cry. He got a little thug tear. That's cool. But what's wrong with him having some tears? What's wrong with him having some feelings? You know, yeah, songs can get deep and speak the words that you want to say, and they can make you cry. Of course.
I didn't say anything was wrong with it, sis. I didn't say anything was wrong with it. Oh, sis, did you drop off? She must have hung up on us by accident.
Yeah, I don't think it's a song itself that makes people cry. It's usually, like, the memory that's attached to it, like, that something that comes up. Like, I don't think any song itself ever made me cry, but, you know, I know a lot of people, like, especially me, like, my mom passed a while ago, so when Dear Mama come on, or, like, I know mad people cry at End of the Road. It's not because End of the Road is, like, a song that just bring it out, but you're thinking about, because that song is played at every funeral, so, you know, you hear that, you start thinking about the funeral you was at or something like that.
And Deep Doc, you're back on.
I was going to say that's a little energy opposing me because I'm all about creating a new scenario, changing the narrative. And I feel like, you know, that's one of the things that could be wrong with the world is that we tell people, especially men, oh, it's not allowed to have other emotions than anger and, neutrality or lack of emotion. And I'm like, nah, you get to, like you said, if it's a thought or a memory, you know, why not be touched by that? It doesn't have to necessarily be bad.
See, I never said that there's anything wrong with crying. I don't think there's anything wrong with crying. If you have an emotion, you should be able to express it and be comfortable feeling it and be comfortable expressing yourself. I personally just don't understand how something makes you cry that doesn't have to do with anything that you went through. So, like what Blair's saying, I get it. So, end of the road, we had our friend Rashe pass on us when we were in high school. And they play End of the Road at his funeral. So when I hear that song, I do think of it, but I don't really think about that. I mean, I think about, like, that moment, like, when I see, like, his brothers and his family and stuff. It's not really the song. I guess that's my problem. Well, I don't want to call it a problem. I don't equate songs with moments. You know what I mean? So, like, End of the Road is not going to make me think of a funeral. It's just going to make me think of the song and probably the music video.
What is your emotion?
I have emotions, but I also don't think that I do think people cry too much. I think people get upset over every little thing. Like, sometimes you just got to chalk it up.
Crying is always bad, and that's just
I didn't say it was always bad,
well,
but always crying is bad.
Too much. I don't know what too much is. Do you know what too much is? What is the
If line? Every time you get upset, you cry.
That's someone being upset. That's just a reaction. But, I mean, just because you don't...
Why can't you get upset and say, okay, let me figure out how this won't happen again? Now, if you're crying because somebody dies, I get it, because that's final. But you can't get upset because you, like, failed the test.
You can't tell someone can't get upset because of a reason and say you can't do that. Like, that just doesn't make sense. You can't tell people. It's like the same difference as saying, well, this happened, you should cry to tell you that that's how you need to react to something. You can't tell someone how to react.
I'm not telling anybody how to react.
Well, yeah, you just said you can't.
I just said you always.
I think the emotional thing like that, anything, like even with finances, you know what I'm saying? I can say, oh, that's relatively cheap. That's inexpensive. Actually, my child just told me that his new whatever latest hand game is inexpensive. How did he know? It's relative, you know? So to say that something's too much, is relative to the perspective of that person who's looking at it. And I get it. There are some people who, at a drop of a dime, anything goes other than they desire, they're crying, but that's that person. That's not everybody. And it's unfortunate to generalize people and be like, well, because this person is always crying, then nobody should really cry because it seems like it provokes a feeling in you. So if you're seeing someone always crying, it's like, dang, get yourself together. But that's not everybody. So when another person cries, does not mean going back to the one that you're exposed or used to, oh, they weak, they not really fixing nothing, they not solving nothing. No, it just means that that person doesn't cope, you know, very well or cope, period, and this person does. You understand? Because I've been living in this world. I've been living in a man's world for a long time, and I was told not to cry. And I was at a funeral, and I was told not to cry. And I think that's just disgusting looking back on it now.
Well, I never say anybody's wrong for crying. I never say they're weak for crying, even though I do believe there's weak people. I believe there's strong people and there's weak people. I believe certain people are strong in some aspects, certain people are weak in some aspects. We're all different. We all have our strengths and weaknesses. It doesn't bother me when someone else cries. But then I think I don't know. It doesn't bother me, but I just always say, like, yo, what's the best way to explain it? Like, we know life isn't going to be perfect. And you should prepare yourself for that. You know, like, you should prepare yourself for disappointments in people. You should prepare yourself for death. Now, when you're a kid, it's a little bit differently. But just general in life, like, everything doesn't, in my mind, my personal opinion, I don't know why else, but everything doesn't deserve a tear. Like, some things are, you shouldn't cry about it. You should attack it and try to fix it and get better, because we should try to be happy in this life. We only got one life.
Why do you feel like that's better than crying?
What?
Because I was wondering, like, I feel like you giving crying, like, if you say, I say deal, cope, or whatever by attacking it, why is that different from crying? Or why is crying not somebody's way of attacking it? Like, if that's how people cope or deal with something, then that's it. It's no different than however someone else cares to react to something. Because I feel like you saying people crying is the same as them, like giving up and like falling out and not doing anything. Like, people could cry. That's them doing something.
Now, if you're crying trying to solve something, then I give you props. But if you're just crying just to be crying, I'm like, yeah, you're not doing anything.
You're not crying just to be crying. It's an emotion.
I don't know. I don't cry. I don't know. I'm asking. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just asking.
For some people, it's like you break someone's jaw.
You shouldn't break
nobody's
jaw.
They don't say, oh, it hurts. They can't say it hurts.
No, they can't.
It's just a reaction. And it's not, and if you're saying it's not weakness, you don't fault anybody, then you don't understand that that is someone's reaction. I don't understand why you can't accept that.
Because somebody will say, it'll be like, yo, I've had a bad day, and they'll just be crying. And I'm like, okay, well, what happened today? Did somebody die? Did somebody get an accident? Did somebody get diagnosed with cancer? Did somebody get shot? You know, somebody gets sick.
It's not just a single thing. And they might be dealing with multiple things, and this is the thing that's upset them.
Can I finish before you get upset and start crying? So,
if you can help it, but that's the emotion you can't help.
DJ, she's tired. Testy. She done drove 6 hours. She's testy. No, my thing is, like, and I ask, and they're like, it's just been a rough day. People have been getting on my nerves. And I'm like, well, why are you crying about that? Like, move on to something else. That part of the day is over. No point in reflecting on it and making yourself upset if it's not going to change anything. Move on.
It might change the way. It's a relief.
Does crying help until people feel better?
Yes.
Then that's what I don't understand.
It is a relief. It is a relief. Yes.
Then I get it. I just don't understand it because I don't cry.
You might.
Yeah, you say it's fine.
You
cry. It's going to make them feel is going to make them sad. Like, it could be the exact opposite, where crying is them getting over it and moving on.
Mm-hmm.
It is the punching the wall. It is the...
I don't punch the wall either.
It is the...
I don't believe in reacting emotional.
That's what I said. So I don't know why you're resisting my initial thing.
I don't understand people who will punch a wall either.
Well, I'm just
saying...
Yeah, it is a release. It is a release.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Like, it's a release valve for the pressure. But you know what? I just want to bring this up, and there's so much coming up. Let's say, for instance, the whole male-female thing. If you propose to your significant other as a man and you're excited, like, would you be okay with her shedding a few tears and her joy and her, oh, my God, I'm so excited, and, you know, like, oh, and it comes to tears? Is that good? Is that okay?
I mean, I don't control my wife. She cries all the time. My wife should cry.
I do not cry all the time.
She get mad at me, and she go upstairs and she cry.
I don't cry.
Okay. But, you know, all right, it's whatever she does. I just don't understand it. That's all.
But let me give somebody permission that's listening to say, look, it's okay. It's normal human nature. You can cry. So if you do cry, it's okay to cry. you know, because that's it's a human condition. It's a option of a human being human, period. And I do have a question. What's up with the Will Smith thing? Have y'all talked about that at all?
Nah, we haven't got there yet. Let me bring in my man, M Extra Money. M Extra, welcome to the offering, my brother. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, brother. Good. What's this crying thing about, yo? Because I know you're going to cry in the car, yo. You say it all the time. You're going to cry in the car. You're going to cry in front of yourself, but you're going to cry in the car.
No, we just, you know, it's just a random discussion of Black Panther 2. We saw the trailer at Comic-Con. Make sure y'all watch y'all background noise. We saw the they got a video for this? We saw the Black Panther 2 trailer, and everybody in the theater was crying, and I kept looking around like, y'all knew he was dead. Why are y'all crying? And he wasn't even in the movie.
Okay.
He just had a mural of him. But
gotcha.
I think crying is like one of them yawn responses. I think because people saw, like, I think music makes people cry. It's just like horror movies, when they take out all sound, it makes people antsy. I think it's just playing with your senses. And I think when, you know, when the lights came on and they saw Coogler up there hugging and crying with the new Black Panther lady, the skinny, what's her name, Siri? Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you think crying, the act of crying, is when emotions are involved?
I think the act of crying is an involuntary reaction to having emotions.
So if a bug
to be an emotional to be an emotionally unstable.
So, okay.
Because you're
all. I'm gonna be unstable, bro. So what I'm saying.
No,
what
I mean
guess
that
what I'm getting to the point. So my point in
no,
asking that
mean,
question is that if. If the blood, if the bug flew in your eye and your eyes teared up, are you crying?
No. Your eyes cleaning yourselves.
Okay, so is that it's a physical response that your body's doing, right?
Yeah, it's an involuntary reaction. I feel the
right.
same
so,
way about
so if
last...
your so if your body is emotionally responding and your eyes are tearing up through the emotions that your body is giving, that's an involuntary thing.
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
You said you never cried before,
but if a bug or your eye gets
irritated
and your eyes start tearing up and crying, then you essentially are crying.
No, I've cried before. I'm just not a crier. I don't cry often. Like, I probably haven't cried in probably the last...
Oh, crier. Okay. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm just
I'm
not,
trying to figure
yeah,
out where we're going with it.
Look, I got hit in the nuts by a kid the other day at football practice. I almost gave it up then. Kid, I told the kid to throw the ball, and he ran over and decided to throw it to who's right next to me. And, of course, he's only about 4 feet tall. Took me out. I almost gave up all the tears in the world. But, no, I mean, I just think, and when I said, and just to clarify myself, what I mean unstable, we have these buzzwords, and we get to Beyonce's spaz word in a minute, too. But when I mean unstable, I don't mean that in a negative context. Like, when you have, like, that uncontrollable laughter and you can't stop laughing and your face hurts, I think that's a happy emotion, and you're that happy that you can't stop laughing because your emotions are unstable. When you're stable, you're not laughing, crying. You're just kind of in a state of tranquility. So when I said unstable for people who are criers, I just wanted to clarify that. I didn't mean that in a negative sense. I mean, it can go either way. That's all. But I don't believe there's anything wrong with crying. I just don't understand it.
I think you have a negative connotation.
Well, that's your opinion. I can disagree with you. The good thing is it's my opinion. I don't give a shit what you think. All right, so I think we got through the tears. New York, you got anything on that? All these soft people, I know you don't cry. You from New York, yo. Your Tims cry before you do.
They sure do, and they squeak too. Nah, the only time, I think we had, what, we talk about punching the wall, yo. I punched the wall one time because I was frustrated. Yo, my mom's whipped my ass, and I cried. And I feel better about either one of the decisions I make. That's the only thing I can add to that.
Yo, he cries if he scuffs his new butters up, though. He gets a new pair of butters, he gets scuffed. The first scuff, he crying about.
Most definitely, yeah, because you can't even, you can't even, like, scrub that out. You can't even scrub that out. That's like a, that's a mad, like, you know what I mean? Like, that, that's like a, oh, man, that's like a black eye on your tins. Like, everybody going to notice it, yo. You might as well just throw them away. Nah. Crazy.
All right. So speaking of crime, we got the Will Smith apology. Doc, Deep, you brought that up. You got anything? What you want to discuss about Will Smith?
No, I just, you know what? I am disconnected from media because I didn't know the song. I haven't seen the Black Panther, you know, preview or any of that, and I really don't know about this apology. So, I mean, there's some thoughts I have on him as a whole, but. I'm listening. I'll see. I'll chime in when I hear something. But yeah, let's talk about it. Is it too late? Is it too late for him to be apologizing? And who is he apologizing to?
Okay. Blur, what you got?
I thought it was. I think about everything is especially when you're a celebrity is media spin. It came out, he's about to be the highest paid actor for any single role with a slave movie of all things. And so I was like, all right, that's out there. Let me take this opportunity because my movie's going to come out for you because I'm going to want people to go see it to try to put my face out there and start the apology tour, or the way tour, the tour to get back in people's good graces, or at least where I'm not hated. And I think I talked about it here. I talked about it somewhere about, the thing with Chris Brown is that he never got out there and not even apologized, but just admitted and said what happened with him and Rihanna. And I don't think his career ever bounced back because of that. If he had just got out there and said, hey, this is what happened, this is what I did, even if people would have hated him, eventually people would have got over it because they would have known they were getting over. I think that's what Will Smith was doing here. Like, all right, this movie going to come out in a little while. It's already starting to get buzz. People talking about it because I'm making $35 million off it. Let me get out there, show my face, so people can say, all right, that's old news. Because until you see him, it's not going to be old news.
DJ Cesar?
I didn't hear the apology or this apology because I felt like, didn't he do an apology before or was it not? I don't know. So, I mean, I think what Blur said makes sense if this is kind of like let's go on and try and bring it up and get it over with before we start, you know, trying to push a movie so that people, you know, won't have anything else to say about it. But I didn't hear exactly what he said or what the apology entailed. So I don't know. Is it worth it? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think it's all for show because he could have. Why are you laughing? He could have called Chris Rock if he wanted to really apologize.
He said he did call him, and Chris Rock
said he wasn't really out there. Well, okay. Well, then you need to call him back when he was ready to talk. But so this is definitely just for show because we don't care that you – I mean, you know, why are you apologizing? Basically, you're just apologizing so we know that you apologize.
Okay. And Max, sure.
So that's easier.
Yeah, so I have several thoughts, and I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, and then, you know, kind of formulating the question of whether it wasn't necessary or needed right now, you know, months later. And to me, I think eventually he had to come out and say something, right? He had to address it at some point. I don't think it was him addressing it that night or during that next week was appropriate because I feel like still like the emotions were too high at that moment. And I think that he did definitely, I would give anybody their own space to kind of collect their thoughts to come out and apologize when they're ready. But at the same time, I think that if he didn't ever talk, my issue with his apology is the fact that he did not talk to Chris. I think that it would have been a better apology had that happened. Because right now it's like, he just kind of came out and said, I did reach out to Chris's people. He said he's not ready to talk right now. Well, fucking of course not, right? So at this point, why are you talking then, right? And then to Blur's part, I think that's why he's talking, right? Because he must got his publicity team is like, look, we need to get out in front of this because we ready to do this next project. But when he does eventually talk to Chris, then is it going to be something else? Or is it that's going to just be water on the bridge and then all of a sudden they're going to be seen together, right? So who's going to make that announcement that they actually finally talked? Or do people even give a shit when that does happen, right? So it was real weird, too, because my second point is that somebody was asking this question, so I'm assuming his publicist or somebody, because I guess he was looking at the internet and people were asking him why he did certain things or why he didn't do certain things. But all those questions that he was addressing really weren't any pertinent type of question that he would get if he was really being interviewed by someone like Oprah or whoever, right? Name, insert whoever the person would did, like on Prime 2020 or whatever, right? So I just think that it was kind of like a stale-ass apology, to be honest with you. It was kind of like didn't have no substance or body to it. Just kind of like, hey, I was upset, reached out to Chris. Chris, I just want to say I'm sorry. Bruh, like you could have did that through a voicemail. You didn't need to come on live TV or TV and post that shit on there. That's just my take on it. I just think it was kind of like a baseless-ass apology because it had no substance.
Okay. Okay, New York, New York.
I think I probably agree with everybody that went before me. I think did he not make it a public apology before? I don't think it was like a video or none, but I think he put something out as a public
apology.
He put an
Instagram
post. Or like the written notes, like the notes on the iPhone or something like that. But I don't have a problem with him doing that. Not saying that it is a problem, but I think if you humiliate a person like that in the public eye, I think it's only right for you to apologize in the public eye. Even if he reached out to Chris behind closed doors, reached out to the family and stuff like that, and they're not ready to talk, I think, you humiliate somebody like that, you feel a different type of way about that, you did that in the public eye, yeah. So it's only right for you to apologize in the public eye. No matter what you got coming up, no matter what, you know what I mean, publicity one you got going on, I think, yeah. It was right for him to get that off.
Okay. See, and then you see what happens when you let your emotions run you. You smack people in the brains. This is why I have a problem with it. People need to think before they react. But, yeah, I mean, the whole Will Smith apology, I felt like it was sincere. I thought it was good, right? I watched the video. I think it was well-produced. Like, you didn't really hear anybody asking questions. He was kind of just reading something. It seemed like he was being honest. But then I go back, and again, I know I'm in the minority with these emotions and all that stuff. But, like, why are you disappearing for 4 months just because you smacked somebody? Like, you ain't hurt this man's family. You ain't hurt his kids. Like, I'd have been more appreciative if Will Smith came out. Like, Will Smith should have just came out the day after. Like, again, if we're bringing up what Blur said about Chris Brown and Rihanna, it's not like he beat up a woman. He smacked another grown man on national TV. It's not that big of a deal, right? Like, it might be a big deal to Chris. Like you're going to have that conversation with Chris. And if Chris want to see you, you got to, you know, Chris is a little tiny, but if him and his brother want to jump you, then you got to be able to accept that. But for the general mass of the public, it wasn't that big of a deal. So to disappear for 4 months and 3 months and do like serious reflecting and say you're going through all these mental things to not feel like a shithead and not feel all, and not being depressed just because you slapped somebody? Am I the only one that's been hit in a fight before? Did you get over
it? But he wasn't
quickly
in a fight. He wasn't in a fight. And he did hurt. It wasn't because Chris Rock was acting like an adult. But he did hurt
Chris Rock's family. Like, his brother said he was hurt. His mom came out and said he was hurt. So did he physically hurt them? Nah, but Chris Rock's mother said he was hurt. I was actually just watching a video with what'd you say? Go ahead.
Look, his mom wasn't hurt when he be talking shit about other people. So tell his mom, get over it. I hate to tell you, I hate to be that dude, but he's the one who's talking about other people.
But listen to what you say. You say you want people to think before they do something, right? And, again, just human nature. I mean, we have emotions, various emotions. And, he reacted in that moment. So my thing is, if he took 3 months, 4 months off to reflect and do that, that's him trying to grow himself so he can think about it the next time. Why did you react in that moment this way? And again, even a fight, like you said, if it was a fight, that's a different situation, because both of them would have been in it and knowingly. This is a guy who was approached unexpectedly, like what just happened, to the point where Chris Rock immediately thought, like, wait a minute, was that a joke? Like, are you serious? You know, like, did this just happen? He was taken off guard. So I do believe that there should be some self-reflection so he can grow, Will Smith can grow and know, hey, let's not react that way the next time. That's not wise. That's not mature. That's not responsible, all these things. So I'm okay with that, but, like, for his apology, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me because it's not making a difference in my pocket. And the thing about that is I hear you all. It saddens me that we culturally, as United States Americans, have taken it on like, oh, he can come out and apologize, and then we're going to go watch his movie. If I like him and I like the movie, I'm going to watch the movie. Him apologizing, I'm not feeling that necessarily, because I don't think it's a genuine, like, however he might have cried during the apology. But that's not for me, if that makes sense. Like, we get to change the narrative, and I feel like, again, speak the truth. Why did you do it? What was your thought while you were doing it? Don't just come out and apologize to me, because I feel like that's just, you'll do it again. I don't know.
But we know why.
Well, he actually did. He did say what was going through his mind, why he did what he did. He addressed it. And I guess it was an apology, but it was less of an apology and more of him just, like, doing just that. Because he did ultimately apologize. He apologized to his family, his fans. You know, he let people down or whatever. And ultimately, he said that at the end of the video, he says, hey, just give it some time and we'll all be friends again. So it was like that. Saying, hey, look, I fucked up. I understand why everybody's upset with me. I can give you guys some insight as far as what I was thinking, what was happening throughout that whole situation, what's happened since then. And, you know, I mean, he got into his whole mental health bag. Look, I'm trying to not be ashamed. I think that's what you were trying to get at, Gunn. He's like, I'm trying to not be ashamed while realizing that I did something bad, like something of that nature. So, yeah, his whole thing is like, hey, look, I fucked up, and I'm sorry I fucked up, but, you know, just give it some time. We'll all be cool again. But, Gunn, I got to say, man, I don't know if I can agree with you, man. You said you're the only person that ever been hit in the face. It's not a big deal. I mean, big deal is subjective. Whatever somebody's big deal is going to be different for other people. But it's definitely a deal. Like, Chris Rock is a national, black national icon. Like, I don't know too many black households where Chris Rock isn't a household name. And what he's meant to the black community for so long, for him to get smacked in the face by another black person on the biggest stage in Hollywood, like, you can't just say, yo, this was nothing. No, he just got hit in the face. It's nothing. And you can't say, like, hey, his mom wasn't hurt when he was doing his job making jokes about other people, because he was doing his job making jokes, sometimes about other people, sometimes about just making jokes. Because maybe not. Your job shouldn't get you smacked unless your job is to physically hurt people. Because if we could talk about his joke, we could revisit that, about how his joke, like, your words can get you smacked at certain things. No, it's not true at all. It's fake news, but
you ruined a whole Microsoft.
If you say something, if he said, and I mean, I think all comics and all the comics who came out after it, like, yeah, you can say things. Like, people say, like, yo, they used to be scared to say jokes about Mike Tyson. Why? Because Mike Tyson might go off. You don't want to hurt people's feelings, but you got to understand, when you had a comedy show, you know why Mike Tyson never went off on anybody at a comedy show? Because he knows he's a celebrity. So why is it okay for Mike Tyson to be like, oh, you know what, I'm a celebrity. If people get these jokes, I'm going to say something to them. I ain't swing on them, but it's no big deal for someone else who does the same thing. And then and Chris Rock is going to be like, oh, no, I got to swing on this person for that. Everybody else took jokes throughout their whole career and that night and ain't swing. Only Will Smith took it upon himself like, yo, I'm going to go slap this other black man on national TV, embarrass him. Embarrass his family, embarrass my family, ruin the night for everybody else.
No, just because you chose to be a comedian and talk shit about people does not give you a right to not get hands put on you if somebody gets offended. You don't want to.
That's not. Nobody said that. Nobody said it. Don't give you right.
Unless you talk, let me finish. If you decide, I got something to say. Blur doesn't like black people. So. If you decide to choose your profession to be a comedian, you can crack jokes about yourself. You can crack jokes about your family. And you should be safe. That's your personal thing. The moment you invite someone else in that, those jokey jokes and that talking shit, you cannot control the reaction. And we had this discussion, so I don't want to go back too far deep. GJC Siren already tired of it. And we do got a lot of catching up to you. But the moment you decide to put somebody else's name in your mouth, you got to come with the consequences will be the consequences. Mike Tyson might laugh it off. Will Smith might smack the shit out of you. You don't want to take that risk. Don't invite nobody else's name in your routine. Simple.
All right, we can move on, but I'll say this. The same way I ended it that night. That whole point is asinine because what you may find offended, someone else don't. So what you're saying is don't have any comedians, don't tell a joke at all. Because just because you may talk about yourself and someone else could feel offended that you talk about yourself and smack you. You can never judge someone's reaction, so just don't have any comedians whatsoever.
No, just accept the consequences if you choose to jump out there. Beyonce said this word spaz wasn't a big deal and somebody got offended. So she has to deal with the consequences. Either she removes the word or tells her to get it over herself. You just have to learn. That's why I have a problem with people who cry all the time. Just accept the consequences. Ain't no point in crying about it. Just accept the consequences. Whatever you chose to do. We all make decisions. Got to accept them. That's all.
So was this Will Smith crying? Was he not accepting the consequences of his action?
He wasn't really crying, but he looked like he was going to cry. He definitely looked like he was ready to cry after the Instagram post. Was he accepting the consequences? I mean, I really don't know because it looked so good in production, like y'all said. I don't know how real it was
during this production. Should he have said anything or should he just like, yo, I did what I did. I just got to deal with whatever comes with it. Or do I got to get out here and try to fix it?
Yeah, the day after, he should say, yeah, I smacked the shit out of him for talking shit about my wife. If Chris got a problem with me, what I did, then me and him can have that discussion. If the Grammy board wants to suspend me because I assaulted a man on stage, I got to accept that because that's what I did. Just accept consequences. It sucks.
So that's what I'm asking. We're going to move on. Is this video him accepting the consequences or is this him trying to not accept the consequences that come with it? Because I firmly believe this is them trying to change what comes with what was coming with the consequences of his actions.
I mean, only he can answer that if he's really sincere in his apology or not. I don't know. And you will know he's sincere if he let Chris Rock smack the shit out of him on TV, on Instagram. You sincere? You really feel bad about what you did? You really think he was wrong? Bring Chris Rock in. Set up that production. Let him put the powder on the hand. Like we see in those videos, and let them smack the shit out of you. And eat it. Hug it out and move. And let's all move on with our lives. Just my opinion. All right, anybody else got anything left on it? So we still got a lot of stuff.
Nah, let's move on.
Anybody? Good. All right. Blur, what else you got?
Oh, man, we didn't tease it for a long time, man. Let's talk about these Beyonce albums. Like, even before Spazzin' and Change the Songs, I got to say, man, people got to start buying physical copies again and purchasing and downloading to a hard – I mean, I know you can't do that with an iPhone, but, like, download the song so it's not just on your phone because
this changing of albums after its release, I know, I think Kanye was the first person, whatever, My Dark Twisted Fantasy, I think it was that one where he said the album's never really going to be done. He's going to keep tweaking it. Like, yeah, this changing of the songs and stuff afterwards, kind of corny. I don't like it. But, yeah, just as an album, this might be the first big-name artist who actually put out an album that I felt was good and lived up to expectations. Now, everybody had their own expectations, but this might be the only one I thought that lived up to it, my expectations from that artist.
DJ C. Siren, now, you've been rocking this Beyonce album. You've been fighting your Beyonce fandom for a long time. Like, it's been years that you've tried not to like Beyonce, but you keep going back to her. What did you think of the album? Are you part of the Beehive now? Are you a Beyonce fan?
No, I still don't consider.
Did y'all know there was a pale lady in Destiny's Child? We were just watching this video. There was some pale lady in Destiny's Child for about 30 seconds. She was on the Say My Name video. And I've never seen her a day of my life.
The story except you, B12. Everyone knows.
I was worried.
Tara,
she needed sun.
She was only a member for a second. So, in the mini Destiny's Child changes. The new album, it is, I appreciate it for what it is. The thing about Beyonce, I mean, I'm glad Blur is everything you wish for. I sometimes struggle with, I mean, I think because the music is good enough, I kind of start overlooking it, or I personally say there's little messages in the music, and after I listen to it a few times, I start liking it. But I just don't like, I'm not going to say it has to be deeper. The lyrics are very Beyonce, which to me is basically means, which means, what? Wait a minute. Anyway, which means, you know, there's some things that are a little childish. Some things are a little corny. I can overlook them for the most part, but when she starts talking about she travels, she rolls with her goons, I cringe. When she talks about how many times she can ride Daisy's dick, I appreciated it the first 12 times. Now I feel like thou dost protest too much. When you talk about, I mean, you know, lyric-wise, I just, but it's dance music. So I do have to, you know, put my differences aside and understand this is a dance album. It is dance music. And for that, I can appreciate for what it is. I know, you know, you hear the story behind some music and you sometimes will accept it because I know that besides talking to Khalees, you know, Beyonce, you know, tried to incorporate a lot of icons and dance music and, you know, black music and that's appreciative. And because that is the type of music she was going for. So those are the type of people that she, you know, used and was, you know, used as her muse. But kind of like her first album, if you, Dangerously in Love album, she heavily sampled Sugi Otis. If you don't know Sugi Otis, just go look it up. But I had recently been listening to Sugi Otis like she was. And it was just like, you know, I think this was done a little bit more purposely, so I can accept it. But just like her first album, it's so heavily taken from other artists. At this point in her career, I guess it's okay if she's doing it as an homage. But when she first started, when it was her first solo album, I put it as a quality I did not like about the album because it was so much sampling and taking from other artists that it wasn't original to me. But for this one, I think I've forgiven her for that. So, I mean, it's a good listen. I mean, I love all the, you know, bad bitch lyrics. It's cool. But like I said, sometimes Beyonce says some things that are like mad corny, and I just don't believe it. I don't care how many times she says that she's Sasha Fierce. So with all that being said, I'm listening to the album, so I can't fuss about it too much.
Doc Deep? You listen to the Beyonce album?
And, you know, Deep Doc was underwater. I haven't. I think I've heard a little sample here and there on the radio. Yeah. But, again, you know, I'll just say this. I'm not considered a part of the Beehive, but, you know, it's like, who is she catering to? You know, she's been away for a little while, you know, became a mom, and I feel like she's still catering to a certain type of audience, and it's not me.
Okay. Okay. Maxra?
I didn't listen to the song. I heard a little bit of the Khalees rant. Didn't really know what she was talking about because I haven't heard of the album. And then I heard something about some song that she had to take off because she used a word that Lizzo did or somebody else did at the same time. I don't know. Barely paying attention because I just don't follow Beyonce like that. I mean, she makes good music. When, you know, in the past, if we're going off, you know, just what she's done in the past, I'm assuming that this album's going to be nothing different than what she's produced before in terms of the quality of music, but it's kind of irrelevant for me at this point.
New York, New York?
Nah, look, I downloaded the album. I really listened to it like that, but the one joint on there, Cuff It is hot. I like Cuff It. I ain't gonna hold you. That shit got me out my seat. I'm dancing. I'm snapping to the shit. You know what I mean? Other than that, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not used to Beyonce taking this route in this certain type of genre of music. But, I mean, hey, she got one. She got one that I like. I mean, I can't complain. I'm still going through the music. You heard? But, yeah, Cuff It for me definitely is it right now.
What is Cuff It about?
I can't even tell you. I've been snapping my fingers and stuff like, she was, nah, well, I mean, hey, it could be that, too. It could be that, too. I ain't doing that. We do consent over here. We don't be cuffing no booties without consent or anything like that. But y'all mean, Cuff It is it. If you got a chance, listen to it. Yeah, it gets you out your seat. Y'all mean? Club
I'm
music,
just curious.
Y'all
I'm just curious.
Wanna...
Is it a girl anthem, like, trying to cuff a dude?
Yeah,
is it that?
Yeah, the refrain is, we're going to fuck up the night. Just, I want to have sex with you. Let's get high off our love. Some, you know, let's go out and fuck up the night.
So it's nothing that has to do with cuffing then? Like cuffing and like getting together, like I want you to be mine.
Like, you know, you can, I'll let you cuff me.
Oh, got you.
Or, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm giving consent.
Gotcha.
I'm yours. Or
gotcha.
We're good, yeah.
See, the Beyonce, MX, was you done, or New York, was you done about the Beyonce album?
Yeah, she's done.
I think that's the right song.
No, that's the right song. I'm saying if you want to dance floor, y'all okay. Mean, you at an all-white party, you at an all-white party, y'all mean, that drink come on, y'all mean, you have a little Casamigos in your system, y'all mean, you going to get up, you going to do the bachata or something, two-step or something, y'all mean, you better hit the dance floor, of course. But that's my favorite for right now. I haven't listened to that album, but y'all mean, right now, going down it, yeah, that's my favorite.
It's a good one. I like it too.
Yeah, I've never listened to a Beyonce album. I think the most Beyonce I listened to is when she put out all those videos for that one album. Yeah, Lemonade. I was real popular after she put her sister. She got her sister to put the beats on Jay, which was terrible, by the way. It's assault. She should have been arrested. But
what? Wait a minute. Hold up. Solange can smack Jay-Z, but Will Smith can easily get away with smacking Chris Rock?
No. I mean, if Chris Rock wanted to press charges, Will Smith should have accepted it. No, Will Smith should have got arrested. I'm cool with that. I'm just not good with the long-out emotional responses to it. Like, you did it. Just accept it. Accept the consequences. That's all. If Chris Rock would have got Will Smith put in jail, then that's on Will. You got to accept it. I'm very consistent. Very consistent. So, yeah, back to Beyonce.
Amen.
Before you just yell at me. So, I was talking. So Beyonce had, Lemonade was the album I listened to. So I haven't listened to this album. But I was interested in like Khaleesi's response and Beyonce's response to Khaleesi's response. When Khaleesi got upset that she was on the album and felt that Beyonce should have called her, I laughed out loud. Like, yo, how do you not own something and demand respect? I thought Khaleesi was totally wrong for that. But again, I'm not in the music industry. New York's more familiar with the music industry than me. But if someone owns something, if I own a piece of paper that Basquiat drew, Basquiat ain't got no rights over this no more. I own it. It's mine. So if Beyonce wants to sample it, and she paid whoever she needed to pay to sample it, Khaleesi, you shut the hell up. Now, again, people have been talking about this, so I didn't realize that Khaleesi's husband died, which we need to check to make sure that she didn't have anything to do with it, because after that, I hate you so much right now, so I think she should be a suspect. I'm sorry. Okay, but just in case. You know, just,
it doesn't say I'm
a killer. Oh, I'm not a big Khaleesi fan either. But she took everything from Nas, so I kind of, she seems like she's got a bad pattern.
No, I was still home.
But, you know, I thought it was just interesting in that dialogue. But, you know, I think Beyonce's response was even more hilarious. Like, yo, I'm going to just take you off the entire song.
Mm-hmm.
Because as big of an artist as Beyonce is, as much as influence that she has on the music industry, you would think that just the fact that she sampled your song would be a good look for you. Like, people would probably be people who are really into this music and where did she get these samples from? But go back to that song and probably give you some streams. I guess you don't own it, so you wouldn't get no money from it either. But at least you would be in the conversation. But like Blur said, the way these albums can just be changed at the drop of a dime and hit our phones, like now she's just like a total afterthought. Like, we're going to forget Khaleesi brought this up, and she's never going to be on that album again, and that's crazy.
I think that's what Khaleesi wanted.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do want to say, because I think your point about if she don't own it, who should demand respect, I think that's completely false. Like, you know, her ownership of anything don't mean she shouldn't demand respect from, especially from somebody who's in her field. Like, I'm not getting no money off. I feel like I'm getting screwed off for this song, and you use it. As somebody who's in it, who does the same thing I do, who may or may not know the struggle I'm having with this song or with these people, and you go to work with them, so yeah, I feel disrespected. And so yeah, if you want to take the song off, perfect, because I'm not getting paid from it. I don't want them getting paid for my work either. I don't want Pharrell and Chad and anyone else who owns this song that I made popular that they couldn't make without me, and I'm the only one not getting paid for it. If I can't get paid, I don't want nobody getting paid.
Step responsibility. It's your fault. You got bad business. I did.
That's the same thing as Will Smith. She's accepting responsibility. She's saying, hey, I'm getting screwed. I got screwed out of this. That's what it is. I still don't want no one making money off of it.
Right. That's, come on, guy. I mean, come on, Beach Bum. You got to understand that, right? Like, come on. Why? Because all Khaleesi is saying is that that's a common courtesy thing. That's it.
No,
you know?
It's
like,
not.
As a woman, it is a common courtesy. As woman to woman, artist to artist, women to women, artist to artist, it is just a common courtesy that she could have extended. Did she have to? No. But it's a common courtesy, though. To say
it ain't even her song.
That's the same way. That's a, but it's again. Come
it
on.
Is her
that's the
song.
Same
no,
thing with Jay.
It's
the same. It's the same thing with Jay and Nas.
Who's singing it?
It's a,
she called Pharrell.
It's the same. It's not Pharrell didn't sing it though. Come on, yo. Come
Pharrell
on.
Made
you
the
know
beat.
Daggone well.
Pharrell,
but you know daggone well how the music business works, yo. Come on,
no,
yo. That's the same beef that everybody.
I really don't.
It's the same beef. It's the same beef that Lox had with Puff. It's the same beef that every other artist who's been screwed. Wayne with what's the name?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, with Birdman. Come on, yo. Like, everybody has this issue, right? And it's the same with Jay. Yeah, I sampled your song. You was using it wrong. I made it how long? You made it how song? I know who I paid.
Great.
Yeah, I know who I paid. That doesn't mean that he can't. That don't mean that it still wasn't Nas' shit just because he know he paid to publish it. Come on, yo. You got to understand that. You know music way more than you just but that you're alluding to right now to not know that a comic courtesy can't just be a thing.
I ain't got to ask permission if you don't own something. Why am I asking M extra money for permission to use something that DJ C. Siren on?
This is the two points I like to say. Number one, the people that have suffered the most because of bad deals and people getting people out of masters and credits and things like that have been black women. Music has been stolen. They have not been paid for music that they've created and sung and lift. You cannot care if you want to, but stop it. Stop shrugging like you don't. Two, when we take and let's make this lens a little bit focused on Beyonce, who made sure she did not work with producers who were, that, you know, there's a lot of music industry people that's had issues with sexual harassment or rape charges and things like that. She made sure that she did not work with those people, that she was, you know, she wanted to make sure this was a, you know, an album that was, you know, taking care of the community and making sure that, you know, all these people with all this bad stuff is around. Well, if you're making sure all this is happening, why not reach out to someone whose music you're using? That's it.
What? Are you kidding me?
No, we're not kidding you. You're not gonna make sure you're doing all this right shit and then purposely leave out another black artist it just doesn't make sense to me.
I am probably the greatest female artist to have ever graced the stage.
Who?
Combination, Beyonce. We're a combination for show, singing, sales. I am probably the greatest female artist in the history of music.
Well, don't act like you care.
Can
don't
I finish?
Like
you just
care.
Told me not to interrupt you. Don't interrupt me.
I didn't say don't interrupt
Hush.
Me.
Hush. Let me speak. More. You're going to yell at me after I finish what I'm saying, but at least let me
finish.
Well,
my result is...
Be quiet.
Let me finish.
If you are the greatest woman to ever grace the stage as far as accomplishments, I don't have to call you, Khaleesi. You're not on my level. I let my peons deal with the sampling issues. And if you don't own your masters and if you don't own the music, because if you owned it, they would have called you. But I hate to tell you, Beyonce's not calling everybody that she sampled. She probably just ain't.
But who is still her project, and in the end, she's responsible for it. So if her peons, her staff do some fuck shit, that's on her. If you sample somebody's song and you only call the label and you're an artist and you don't check to see like, hey, yo, just an FYI, I'm getting this cleared by your label. Oh, you don't like that? I don't care a fuck. I'm still going to do it. But you're not even going to check to even say something. Not even going to let them. She didn't even know her song was being used until she heard it. This is her voice, her stuff. Come on, man. Come on. Beyonce wouldn't want anyone to do it to her. That's what it all comes down to. Would you want to be treated like that yourself?
Exactly. Because listen to me. Let's put it this way. If, let's say, Patti LaBelle comes out with another album, samples Beyonce shit, you think Patti LaBelle going to have that same fucking thing? You don't think she's just going to reach out just because she knows that's the right thing to do, even though it may not be Beyonce's song? You know, come on. Let's be honest.
I think Patty doing what you want. Patty making sweet potato pie.
I think the difference is that Beyonce, so she wants to be the queen. She wants to be this next rising star. And if she's really trying to uplift up and coming women artists, then she needs to set the fucking example. Then, and this ain't a good way of setting an example at all. If she thinks that she can just
just
sample whoever the fucking song is because that's what it is. Like, she can't have that. She can't have her cake and eat it, too. She can't be out here like, I'm doing this for the culture, doing this for the people, but yet I'm going to treat somebody else in my industry wrong because I don't feel like she ain't on my level. It ain't about being on her level. It's just about, yo, just respect that the industry screwed a lot of us over. And, yeah, you may be winning, but, damn, you can at least give me a little bit of courtesy to say, hey, man, I'm using your song. I caught it, cleared it. I'm just giving you a heads up. Like, that's a simple-ass task to do just out of a mere respect. It is, bro. Like, come on, man. You know it is.
So I want to throw in there that somebody said that's just common courtesy, and the unfortunate part is courtesy is not common. And I love the perspective of, like, since Khaleesi isn't making money off of it, she doesn't want Beyonce making money off of it. I can see that. Like, it's like, she doesn't want Beyonce or more so the people who have mastered it or taken the masters of it to be making money. like, because Quincy Jones ain't never sang a song in his life, but he gets royalties for everything. And so I see that. I love that perspective of it. But, and I agree, if Beyonce is going to uplift the community, let's be consistent with it. But the unfortunate part is courtesy is not common. I mean, it's sad to say, but courtesies are not common. And like you said, somebody said she could have had one of her peons reach out to Khalees and be like, hey, you know, just so you know, even how about this? Take it even a little bit further. Again, deep doc, change the narrative. How about she just do some abundance? Like, look, it's enough out here for all of us. Let me, if I'm a sample your voice in this song, I paid the royalties. I did what I had to do legitimately, but I want to promote you. You ain't been out in a while. Things happen in your life. Hey, why don't I put you on the stage with me? You understand? Like, why not? It's enough out there. She got enough. Is she threatened by it? Because to take her off of it, to me, that seems like, oh, you want to complain? Okay, well, I'll just take you off. I got money just to spend to pay for it, but I'm just going to take you off. That's okay.
That's the petty shit.
I think it's great.
Petty B out there.
But like I said, it's one thing. Don't come out. It goes against what I feel like you and your team is putting you out there as an artist and a person. I feel like it just goes against what you are supposed to be representing. And that's all. That's all. It doesn't help that you have these, you know, crazies that will support her, and then have to harass people, which is just frustrating because, you know, it's almost like a dictatorship. Like, you can't say anything bad about this person or we coming to get you. Like, that's crazy. And that's not Beyonce's fault, but I just think it's unfortunate because, you know, now you have somebody that can't be checked on anything because you have a whole group of people.
Can I ask you an honest question? Y'all think Wu-Tang called all them Chinese people up and asked for their permission?
Oh, eventually they did. Maybe not.
No, stop adding stuff.
What are you talking about? What Chinese people?
Sample.
You ain't never heard 36 Chambers?
He's just talking about the...
You talking about the dub stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they got that clear. And if that was somebody in the industry...
If that was somebody in the industry, I guarantee you they
would let them know.
No, because Beyonce got Khalees' stuff clear. The question is, do y'all think Wu-Tang called all them Chinese people up?
But that's her movie.
They're not
definitely
artists,
not. Definitely
artists.
Not.
No, it's not.
Y'all bug. It's not the same. It's not the same.
It's not the same. I don't think it's Chinese people who did that. I think it's white people who just redubbed over the Chinese movie.
Hold on. Go ahead, Blair. Hey, I'm arguing with DJ C-Sign. Go ahead, Blur. My apologies.
Now, I'm saying I don't think it's Chinese people. I think it's white people who just did voiceover work. And for all we know, those people probably getting paid. So when they cleared it, they might have been clearing it with the correct people. That said, if this was somebody in their industry, if it was a musician, anybody who did some work and they were using that, I'm pretty sure they would have reached out like, yo, You did the voice on this, right? Yeah, we're going to use this on our album. Oh, they screwing you on that? Damn, man, that's fucked up. We still going to use it on our album.
I've seen the Wu-Tang documentary. None of them call any Chinese people.
Well, my thing is, number one, it's Japanese films, mainly, but...
Hold on, let New York, New York get it. New York's this side. Go ahead, New York. We keep this up.
I don't know if everybody pay attention to, like, the New York scene right now in the music. Like, everything is sampled. Like, so they you might have somebody sample Billie Jean, right, and put a little trap instrumental on it, and then they going crazy. They ain't going crazy. They definitely not reaching out. They don't care. They just try to get a viral moment. It don't even matter.
It's different. Yeah. Mike is dead.
It's not even Mike. It's Sade. It's everybody. Even when you brought up Patti LaBelle, it's everybody. They bring in James Brown. They sampling everything.
Right.
And they rapping over their beat.
Who is that?
No, hold on. I'm not done.
Are these
Beyonce
level people
I'm not
or are they just regular people trying to get off?
I hear what you're saying. It's not the same statue as Beyonce, right? But the Wu-Tang, the Wu-Tang situation or whatever, I mean, look, this is rap. They're going to sample that. They're going to sample that regardless if you're going to clear it or not. And if you don't clear it or not, they're going to perform that shit at their shows, and they still won't get their money from it. But that's all I had to say. That's all I had to say with the Wu-Tang stuff, with the Beyonce and the Patti LaBelle, the Khalees, you know, Khalees Milkshake, y'all mean, boom, yeah, Khalees, get your coins. Khalees, get your coins. But at the end of the day, I mean,
but she not
shit,
well,
I mean. Well, hey, shout out to Pharrell.
Hey, New York. When Action Bronson came out, and who did he sound like?
Raekwon.
Who he sound like?
No. He sounded like the whole Wu-Tang, but I feel like he sounded like Ghostface. He sounded like Ghostface.
Did Ghostface say something about it?
Most definitely. And this is the I'm gonna tell you. No. I'm gonna let you finish your point, right? But Ghostface had the most motherfucking, like, literally, he didn't even have to rap when he responded to that. When he responded to him, he was just talking on a beat from an old school. I can't even remember what the beat was, the old school from. It was like before my time. But he was just talking to him on beat from an old. Nah, y'all got to watch that. Nah, that's classic, for real.
But
that's classic.
That's my point, though, right? He responded.
Yes.
He took his style, and Ghost was like, yo, hold on, yo, back up. Yo, you sounded way too like me right now, yeah. And he responded.
Nah, bro.
People care is what my point is. People care about the product. So I don't care. I don't care who samples, who what. It's my song. It's my product. Give me the courtesy. That's all it is about.
But it's not your song. It's not
give
your
me
product.
That.
Someone else owns it.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's
it
not,
is my
that's
product.
Not what happened.
Pharrell didn't. It's
that's
not
Pharrell's
not vocals, bro. It's not his vocals.
Can I jump in real quick?
What are you talking about?
Can I jump in real quick?
I just want to clear up the Ghostface Action Bronson thing because I was a huge fan of it when it was happening because it was a great moment by Ghostface. But Action Bronson, even though he sounded like Ghostface, Ghostface never said anything. Ghostface even admitted, like, yo, when he first sounded like me, I thought, oh, did I put out this song and don't remember it? But he wasn't going to let anybody – he wasn't going to say anything because he said, hey, God gives us our voices and he just sounds like he sounds like me. It wasn't until Action Bronson went on – either the Breakfast Club or Funkmaster Flex, and they said, hey, you sound like Ghostface. And Action Bronson said, don't compare me to him. Ghostface don't make no music like me. And that's when Ghostface said, I'll gut you like a pig. And it was in a robe listening to probably Patti LaBelle. That was great. All right, well, go ahead.
It's not even rapping. He in a hotel room through an old school beat, not even rapping. He's just talking to him. Not even rapping. He's talking to him on beat. On beat to the old school shit. Like, I think that's top disc records every time. I put that before Ice Cube. Because that's never been done. That's a viral moment for me. That's crazy. How you going to talk crazy to somebody like that on an old school beat, not even rapping? And it's just still fire. That's so New York.
I'm just surprised.
Shout out to Ghost.
Yeah, it was a great moment. But, I mean, we don't have to keep going back and forth. I don't agree with none of y'all. And, Blur, I'm surprised because you're very much the law is the law. And if, you know, you think R. Kelly and Bill Cosby should have never got arrested because they couldn't prove nothing.
Because we're not talking about anything legal, though. Because we're not talking about the legal right. Yeah, Beyonce was well within her legal right to use it. We talking about respect and what's the right thing to do.
I don't think that's a right or wrong thing to do. She didn't do anything wrong. She got the sample clear. If she can't be sued,
let me ask you this:
she right
would she care? Would she care if somebody did it to her?
If she didn't own her music, I think she might care. But you got to accept your consequences. I don't think she'd get on the Instagram and complain about it.
What is you did a bad deal.
You're
killing me with this accepting consequences thing. Where is this coming from? Where are you on this with this whole thing, man? I don't know who I'm talking to right now with this accepting consequences crap.
You got to accept the consequences for your actions. I've always been like,
yo, bro.
You got to chalk it.
Yeah, you're killing me. You're killing me right now. Yeah, you're killing me right now.
Tell people, yo. Like, I fucked up. You just got to admit it. Got to admit it and move on.
Accept the consequences. Accept the consequences.
That's it. That's what I tell my son. Make him say, just got to accept it and move on. Don't cry about it. Even though
I've never heard you say that this much in all the years that I've known you. You said it way too much for me right now. I've never heard you say it this many times.
It's the three situations that we talked about where it comes from. You know, people, we're literally arguing about people going back and forth. So, and it's easy for me to just say, look, you just got to chalk it up. You know what I mean? Like, you took an L on this one, Khalees. It happens. Like, don't nobody owe you nothing. You sold your publishing to Pharrell. Or you had a bad deal. It sucks. Like, I feel bad for her in that sense. But, like, people forcing Khalees versus Beyonce, the real beef should be between Khalees and Pharrell. If Pharrell's made so much money, why hasn't he allowed her to collect money on her publishing? Like,
oh,
people should be yelling at, like, you should be yelling at Pharrell, not Beyonce. It ain't Beyonce's fault. Beyonce
did what she had to do.
Huh?
Did she mention him, though?
She did. She did. She is yelling at Pharrell. And she said, hey, as somebody who's a female artist who does the same thing I do, it's fucked up that you, knowing what I'm going through with this person over this song, is going to do that and not even let me know. She didn't say she was.
Right.
She didn't say she did anything illegal. She said what you did was fucked up. And she's 100% right. Because you wouldn't want nobody to do it to you.
Right.
And you wouldn't nobody do it to you because it's a fucked up thing to do.
I don't think it's fucked up at all.
So
I know
on.
Who I
so,
pay. God,
so
Searchlight Publishing.
So listen. So when
was Jay Z wrong?
So when Locks was beefing with Diddy, when Wayne was beefing with Birdman, you think both
different
you think Locks was wrong and Wayne was wrong? They should just accept their consequences, or they didn't have legit
different situation. It was a different situation. Locks beef with
they were trying to get their
Puffy
they were trying to get their publishing back.
No, it wasn't. Locks had another 5 albums on their deal that was structured at only 2%, and they thought they wanted more. It really wasn't about publishing because Puff still owned some. He doesn't own it now. I think the last – because the Locks just got their publishing, like, in the last, like, 2 or 3 years. It was about pandemic time. Puffy still owned their publishing. It was just basically about – Puffy having so many albums left to do the deal, and Rough Riders had to pay Puffy for the albums that they would still owe. That was the issue.
No. That's not. I'm not talking about what the specific. I'm saying them trying to get their publishing back. Do you think they should have just chalked that up?
If they signed over their publishing, no. I mean, you can fight for it, but don't complain to anybody about somebody being a bad person because you signed a deal getting away your publishing. That was your fault. That doesn't make them
so,
a bad
wait,
person.
Hold up. I got
to
come.
Just want
so
to
you
make sure
they can fight,
I
don't complain?
You consistent.
Y'all got to figure out who's talking.
You can fight for it, but don't complain. So you don't think complaining is fighting for it, or you don't think fighting for it is complaining?
No, call a lawyer. What do I care for?
And when you go and call lawyer, you file a complaint. You file a complaint. You literally complain.
Yeah, in the courts, not on Instagram. Well, I mean, you can complain on Instagram. She has a right. It's her Instagram. I'm just saying, like, I don't feel bad. I don't think Beyonce did anything wrong. Just because you sold your publishing, if you want to fight for your publishing back, I support you. Do what you do, shorty. Go get it, queen. Do what you got to do to get your publishing back. I just don't think Beyonce did anything wrong just because she doesn't own the publishing, so fuck she got to call her for it. If I wanted to use the sample and someone made a beat with the sample and I had to get it cleared, I went through the proper channels of getting it cleared that had nothing to do with you. I don't owe you nothing. If you want your shit back so somebody's got to call you to clear it, go to court, file a complaint. That's all. Simple. I think that's
simple than somebody saying, hey, Khalees didn't know about this?
Yo, why don't somebody call and let Khaleesi know that we're using her song? That would have been simple.
Why? She don't own it. It ain't her song.
Again, it's the right thing to do. And it's the easy thing to do.
I don't think it is.
It is her song.
It's not her song.
It is her song.
It's obviously not her. She wouldn't be upset.
She doesn't have credit for the song, but she doesn't have writing credit.
I'm sure a lot of people made the song. So is it a lot of people's songs or is it just her song? Pharrell made the beat. Is it not his song?
You are so
I'm
so
asking
complete
an honest question. If Pharrell made the beat, is it not his song as well? I'm asking
percentage
you a question.
Of it is his. The person on the vocal should have a percentage of it as well, and the vocalist doesn't have any percentage of it.
Or the person with the most percentage.
Michael Jackson has a friggin' licensing for Beatles songs. It wasn't his song. He owned noise. That don't mean, but he owned.
But we're talking about Khaleesi. We're talking about, that's two totally different.
You just asked. But
if I wanted to say.
Oh, you said it's a person who owns
the
publishing.
No, I said if Pharrell made the beat.
If Pharrell made
yeah,
the beat.
If I wanted to sample
it's
a Beatles song.
It's about who makes the beat. It's about who has the person.
If I wanted to sample a Beatles song in the 1990s, if I don't have to call Ringo Starr, I got to call Mike.
Right, but that don't mean it. It don't make it Michael Jackson's song.
But that don't mean that.
I'm just saying.
But if Ringo gets upset.
It's still Khaleesi's song. It's still a Beatles song.
But it's Pharrell's song.
It's still Khaleesi's song.
But I'm saying it's Pharrell's song. But
and you said if you want to sample a Beatles song, you didn't say I want to sample the song Michael Jackson owns.
Right.
Yeah, if I wanted to sample a Beatles song, I should have to call Mike. I don't have to call the Beatles. You don't own it.
Yeah, but it's not.
But
I'm saying it's not Michael Jackson's song.
It's his if he owns it.
No, it's not.
Okay, so
it's
if you buy
yo, stop
okay.
it.
And we're talking about have to. He ain't got to do nothing,
let's
as we just saw, like,
right
New York division. You don't have to do nothing. You can just steal the shit and put it out. You ain't got to check with nobody.
You
ain't
steal
but
it.
You should.
Hey, so the phones that y'all are on right now, are they yours or are they the Androids or Apple?
When you talk
Apple made it?
Talking about creating.
Apple made it?
No.
Android made it? I don't know if the Android's a real person, but Google or Microsoft, who makes Androids?
Samsung.
Haven't seen one of those in decades.
Samsung.
Do people still have Androids?
Samsung.
There you go.
Oh, really? Seriously? We're going to bring that up? Android versus iPhone? Really? Seriously? Okay. Where
so
has this
they...
turned to?
Let's move on. Because no one's opinion is being changed. I think both sides have been sufficiently
discussed. Not dug in, because you know what we're saying, and you're just choosing not to agree. That's what I
that's
feel
not
like.
True.
You're doing.
I'm
you
don't
know
agree.
Exactly.
I agree with you, Alexia.
And you never.
You know exactly what
you
we're
know
talking
wrong.
About.
You
are you really
crazy.
Telling me that because Mike owned the Beatles class? It was it's all his songs. Yo, come on, yo. You know goddamn well those are the Beatles songs that he just bought the damn publishing for. Come on.
If I don't have to call the Beatles to clear them, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. That's all I'm saying.
But
if
they're
I don't
still
have
the
to
Beatles
you,
songs, though.
I'm not saying that they're not the Beatles songs, but I'm saying that I don't owe you a phone call if I don't need to, if I need to clear it and it doesn't have to go through you.
Unless,
I don't owe you a phone call.
Unless you're a black woman. On to the next.
Black women need to stop complaining. Y'all are like,
y'all
earn like number three. Y'all done passed black men. At this point, y'all got to stop complaining, y'all. Y'all got it good.
Ain't nobody complaining.
Y'all got all the child support. Y'all make higher salaries.
Y'all got all the child support.
Oh, we are not going to go there. We are not. I'm sorry. Did you not participate in creating this child? And you're telling me that if I get a child support, that's enough? Really?
Hold on. Can we talk
I'm
about
really
this, though?
Sure
because I had a topic. Can we switch it because we got about 15 minutes? Can we switch this, Josh, for just a little bit since you're bringing us up? Because I want to know everybody's thoughts. I just want to know everybody's thoughts because, you know, and I don't know how true this is, but they were talking about in Georgia now that you can start collecting child support as soon because now this whole abortion thing that you can claim dependence as soon as you get pregnant, right? And you can start collecting child support as soon as you get pregnant. And you can take that father for child support to pay for the woman's medical bills and all that shit now. You basically can start child support at conception. What are y'all thoughts on that?
So, I mean, it looks at it like this. I mean, if you believe that fetus, the products of conception are a life, right, which is why they kind of overturned abortion rights, you know, then, yeah, why not? Again, because it's on that, physically on that responsibility of that woman to carry, but why does she have to do it alone when she ain't created alone?
I don't have a problem with the law. I think the law is cool. As it is written, it's cool. But I have a problem with the need for it, I guess. Because if you don't, like, essentially, and that's the major headline, but a guy doesn't have to pay, but child support will start accruing at that point. So if she still puts you on child support after the baby's here and paternity is proven, now you just are owed 9 months of back child support. So it's not taking the money right then. You don't have to pay it right then because child support is only mandatory once you prove paternity. So there's a lot of things that can happen in that 9 months. That said, if you're not questioning paternity, then why not just be there and help out with the whatever it is, Lamaze classes, doctor's appointments, get the cocoa butter for the stretch marks, whatever it is. Why not just be there if you know that's your kid? If not, then I'm all for, I mean, the woman trying to get some help during that time.
I love it. That's why does the law have to exist? I love it. Responsibility, like you say, is a consequence. You laid down the creator, you set up and created, you hit it from the back and created. Take responsibility.
So why don't you feel the same way about women being able to take care of a child without child support? Like, you decided to keep it, you decided to that you wanted this child. Why don't you take responsibility and just take care of the child, whether your guy is good or not? You decide to lay down with a terrible guy. Why should he have to go to jail just because he ain't got no money?
So I don't have an issue with that. I mean, as far as, like, I'm going to take responsibility regardless. That's it. That is me. That's who I am. But the fact that the question was asked, like, what's the thoughts of it? I like the second person who just spoke about, hey, why does that law have to exist? They're just saying, look, either you start paying or being contributing as a responsible adult at the conception of this child or at the birth and on, right? Why does that have to be? If you're a decent person, take care of your business. Take care of your responsibilities. But does that mean that child's going to go without or not have because one of their parents doesn't pay or doesn't take responsibility? No, that does not mean the same thing. And women can do it. And believe me, it's not about women not doing it. But if it comes down to that, you understand, sometimes you have to hit people where in the pocket where it hurts, right? And it's unfortunate that you even have to do that.
Child support.
I'm
going to
let everybody go before I can. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we only got a couple of minutes, so I'll let you jump in because I'm not that passionate.
So,
I mean, but
yeah, I mean, my thought process is that again the whole Roe decision about I'm all support, right? I feel like I'm not supporting the Roe decision. I'm support of women being able to do whatever the hell they want to do with their body, but I don't like the argument of, well, you lay down. Well, what if I lay down? I strapped up. You took the condom like the Drake thing, you put it in, now you impregnated yourself without me knowing, right? So there's always a slippery slope to that, right? So now you pregnant, now you got to prove that it's mine when I'm sitting here thinking like, yo, I know I used the condom, right? So how do I prove that, right? So then there's that piece. And then there's the second piece of it is that at what point are we going to hold women accountable for their lack of motherhood parenting, right? Because they get the ultimate exception, and we get the back end decision, especially when not all mothers are mothers or good mothers too, right? So if we're going to do that part, then we should put the father on an equal playing field as the mom, because right now we're not on an equal playing field when it comes to that, right? We're not. So it's a lot of varied factors in there that I don't think that this law goes into, especially when you talk about child support at that early age conception. Right, because again, and I'm a strong believer that a woman should protect whatever they do in terms of their body and whatever they want to do and their choice, right? But then it calls into question, if I'm going to be responsible for this at conception, then the choice is no longer just yours. And I think, Beachbomb, you had made this point. At what point does a father says, I want to keep this, and the mother says, I don't, right? So it's like, because if you're going to force me to pay child support at conception, then that means I got a right to say, well, then now the baby needs to be born no matter what is going on, right? And so that's the part where I kind of struggle with, because for me having daughters, if they say they don't want to have the baby, then I feel like they should just not have a baby. But then if I'm going to be having forcing the guy to be held responsible during this time, then I feel like now you got to have him have some kind of say-so over what the decision that she makes, since the argument is y'all both laid down, so both of y'all should be responsible. But yet you can go off on your own and have an abortion, and you don't need the consent of the father, but yet you got the whole force behind talking about, I now need to pay back child support for a baby that I never wanted.
So please let me answer this. On the condom, it actually tells you it's not 100% for sure. So if you don't want to take that risk of having conception, abstain. Easy answer. That's number one. The fact that you have daughters, great question. If they want to be involved, please have that conversation with that woman who's going to carry that child or not carry that child, and hopefully you all are both mature enough to have that kind of conversation. But to have to say, well, if I got to come for you to have child support, I feel like there's something wrong with that maturity level right there. As a father of daughters, would you want this man to be sitting around and she's got to come for him in the court system to pay child support?
You're misconstruing what I'm saying. I'm saying as a father of daughters, I would want them to have full control over their decision whether they want to have a baby or not. And I'm saying that when you inject the law forcing a man to then now have to participate in a way of financial support, it gives that person, in my opinion, now a say in what happens with that baby. So I'm saying that's
okay,
the
I can
slippery
see that.
Slope. That's the slippery slope that I just don't know why I want to go down, right? Because I want them to have full autonomy over every decision that they make, because they're ultimately the ones that have to carry that baby. And I can give two shits about what the dude doing, right? But I'm not going to also think that, you know what I mean, that he has to then have to be responsible or think that he has a say in that because the court system is telling him that he has to now be held responsible for child support of an unborn child.
2 minutes.
So I get that, and I can respect that, that you want them to have the full autonomy. And here's the deal. Change the policies. Because – what was the reason for even having to do that? Like, change the policies as a whole, and one of the biggest things men can do is they can take custody. They can take primary custody, full custody, however that may be. That's a discussion that could be done in the policies making. I mean, do that. That's the thing. Why can't they? You know what I'm saying? And I think that
courts don't let that happen. As long as the mother's confident, they don't allow
it. We got to change the narrative.
Exactly,
we can't just be like, well, that's how it is. Nothing, we can't do nothing about it. No, that's why you get out, you share your voice, you share your truth, and you vote.
Yeah.
Put it
but
out
dude,
there.
I mean, dudes try to do – dudes do try to get full custody, and they still get burnt on child support because the court says, as soon as the mother says, I want my child, and dude says, well, I make more money, I can take care of my child, she can come by and visit and all stuff, and then she says, well, that's my child, I carried him, the court gives him to the mom, as long as she's not like a crackhead. And that's what MX is saying.
Absolutely.
That the dudes are
absolutely
not on a fair playing ground with mothers, or you would have more dudes with full custody.
Yep.
That's just the guy's honest truth. And the funny thing is, I just had a discussion with one of my boys who was in the NBA. Gary Payton had a child. Oh, I didn't mean to put his full name out there. But, he's famous, I guess. But Gary Payton had to pay his baby mama $100,000 in child support when he had a child with this lady, and he told the court, look, I got a big house, the child can have his own room, he's in a $1 million house, I can take care of all his schooling and everything, I don't have to pay this child support, just give me full custody. And she told the judge, I want my son with me. So the judge ordered him to pay $100,000 when he's clearly more than capable of taking
care
of his child.
Yeah.
Even better than her, because he's
providing that life.
And has more resources. But because she was a mom, he gave her full custody, and he had to pay $100,000. And that's when my man said he knew he had to marry his wife because he didn't want to get hit with debt because he was in the NBA too. And I said, damn, that's crazy. But
crazy,
I'm going to end there, man. Good talk. Good conversation tonight. Good talk. I hope you all take care of responsibilities. We're going to circle around and get on up out of here. It's been a fun – we still got a lot of topics to get back to, man. It's been a lot the last 2 weeks. But we're going to get out of here. Doc Deep. Was it Deep Doc? Pause. You sound like a – like the ass man from Seinfeld. Like, you never want a deep dot.
It's legal.
Doc,
it's legal,
you guys,
for me to go all up into your cavity. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. You want to say anything to the people before we roll?
Very interesting night. I hope I can make it back again.
Ah, I hope you
You're
can
welcome.
Too.
Welcome,
you're
welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Let me know if I got to burn down a house down the street. And love you. We'll talk to you soon. DJ C. Sire, you got anything you want to say to the people before we roll?
Good night. Have a good one. Oh. Peace out.
There you go. M Extra?
Hey, man. The American Prophet. It's a screenplay similar to kind of like the Hamilton-style play, but it's about Frederick Douglass. Check it out. Support it when it comes to your town.
I wish people would stop giving Hamilton that credit when Sticky Fingers did it back in like 2000 and shit. Sticky Fingers.
That's fine.
Frederick
Douglass. Frederick Douglass play coming to a theater near you. Go see it. Go check it out. Support the Black history.
Blur.
Oh man, yeah, I didn't want to interrupt, so I know we're gonna wrap up, but I do want to correct you and them actually real quick. That may be an old belief that that was the case. A lot of states, and it is unfortunately state by state, but Texas, men have just as many rights as women, and if you're going to have a kid with somebody there and you think you might have a fight, I hate Texas, but you might want to do it there, followed by California and then Missouri. So, yeah, just like when I think it was Lamar Odom or whoever it was, and the chick said he got a pregnant, but hey, I live in Texas. If you want to take me for child support, you got to come to Texas to do it. I ain't doing none of this California stuff. Come to Texas where you're not going to get no money. So it is a lot of places where men are – on equal footing, if not better footing than women. So, yeah, just want to throw that out there. I mean, just like everything else, things change with the times. But the overarching thing for the night, treat people the way you want to be treated. Don't smack nobody unless you want to get smacked. Don't sample somebody's voice unless you want your voice to get sampled.
All right, New York, New York.
All I got to say is that yeah, I mean, crying is okay. If you feel that emotion, go ahead. Go ahead and do that, y'all mean. I cry to the Titanic soundtrack all the time. Yeah, with that one gospel song that we fall down. I cry to that, too. I cry to that, too. It's all right. Other than that, y'all mean, Chris Rock, y'all mean, you all right, bro. You all right, bro. We seen your sitcom on TV. You went through mad shit in Brooklyn, bro. No slap. No slap is going to get you out there character, y'all know what I mean? Just talk about it. Just talk to Will Smith. Talk to Will Smith. Will Smith is acting out of character, apologizing to you out in the public, y'all know what I mean? Talk to him, bro. All you got to do is just talk to him, bro. You from Brooklyn, right? Y'all know what I mean? A slap is not going to get you out there character like that. If you not, yo, go back to South Carolina, wherever you from. Other than that, y'all know what I mean? Shout out to Khalees, y'all know what I mean? Milkshake. Milkshake was a hit. Milkshake is a hit. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? He had Nas in the video that la 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 la. That shit. That shit was my shit. That's still my shit. For real. But Beyonce is Beyonce right now. You know what I mean? Beyonce, she got a hit right now. She got a hit. What she say? You won't break my soul. You won't break my soul. That's my shit right now. I'm Harlem shaking to that shit in the garage right now. Other than that, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? All this shit that's happening in the world, abortions and everything like that, yo, fellas, you know what I mean? Read your condoms, yo. Read your condoms. Make sure the condoms come with that spermicide in them, you know what I mean? Other than that, you know what I mean? Russia's not playing fair. Russia's not playing fair. Why they give Brittany Griner 9 years? 9 years. Look, the White House made a public statement today
I don't know, y'all. You know I mean, you gotta get Brittany Griner out of there. But if you get Brittany Griner out of there on the weed charges, y'all, you know I mean, you got she Joe Biden legalize that shit. Other than that, you know what I mean, it's head nods for the rest of the days. You know what I mean, monkeypox is taking over. I know we've been through COVID. Now monkeypox. Like, I'm not dapping nobody up. No handshakes. No nothing, bro. Head nods all the way. Other than that, stay vigilant. Keep your hand sanitizer close. All that. And still wear a mask too. But other than that, have a good Thursday. Have a good rest of the week. Look forward to the conversation next week. You all right?
Just like that, yeah. I don't think Biden can make weed legal in Russia, but we'll have that discussion next week. Good talk, y'all.
Oh, very serious conversation. How blurred gonna say one sentence that Texas and California both have met have legal rights, but then tell us about how somebody said you can't have a baby.